the intro every week now, the bam, 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 bam. It wouldn't be the Gloucestercast without the bam, 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 bam.
That has to be
part of it. Right? No, everybody's looking at us strange. No idea what I'm talking about. And we fade out the intro music. You'll hear this when you actually listen to it, if you bother to listen to it. No one listens to it. Let's be honest. No one listens to it. This is just an exercise and hanging out. We got a full house. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 people. I didn't say 9 guests, Kim. So okay. I don't need to be corrected that it's 8 guests and me.
Oh, okay.
Right? Right. We're good with that. But we have a varied, we have a lot to get to. So we're going to, so first off, a little bit of business. Happy birthday to our friend Alicia Cox of the
Happy birthday, Alicia.
Good Morning Gloucester sponsored Alicia Unleashed podcast.
Yes.
One of our good friends. It's belated. I think it's 1 or 2 days late.
Oh,
but
really?
I stickied her big mug to the top of the blog today.
Is that to make up?
It's a makeup thing. It's a totally a makeup thing because I did not acknowledge her birthday earlier.
Wow.
Some terrible, because I'm a terrible friend.
No, but you know how those Facebook messages come up about birthday wishes? Like, if you're friends with, like, 1,000 people, it's very hard to keep up with them.
It wasn't so much that. It was that I had my daughters, you know, from Friday. And when I really unplug when I get them.
Yeah.
So when I unplug, I don't get the notification. It's like everything, you forget to keep calendars because you're focused. I won't say that. I wanted to say, the Sidewalk Bazaar was this past weekend. We're going to talk about that a little bit. We're going to jump right into the first order of business, which is Energy Savers Home Performance with the two Corys. Corey Marshall and Corey Ricky Munn.
Yeah.
I should know that because your father was famed long-time cross-country coach?
Middle school cross-country and high school outdoor and indoor track coach.
For many years.
Long time.
Many years. Yeah. Do you still run?
Done.
All done?
All done, yeah.
You got to work.
Motorcycle accident, 2004.
Oh, no.
Done.
Oh, wow.
So, you know,
so it's been a while.
C'est la vie.
You look like you have a runner's body, though.
Well, it's thanks for being in hot attics in the summertime.
All right. Well, tell me, why don't you guys tell me what Energy Savers Home Performance is and how it, why everybody should pay attention to it.
Yeah. So our company, Energy Savers Home Performance, we're a local company, owner-operated as well, based out of Gloucester and Rockport. We're focusing on energy efficiency measures, specifically right now through insulation measures. We are a MassSave partner, so we're essentially a National Grid subcontractor. So there's this MassSave program that's available to any resident who has, in our neck of the woods, a National Grid gas or electric bill. They're opened up as a National Grid customer. They're opened up to rebates and incentives for this energy efficiency program.
If anybody's listened to this podcast or to the blog for any of the last 4 years,
Yeah. They
know exactly what you're talking about with MassSave because I've beat this drum relentlessly as far as if you don't take advantage of these programs and how there's an energy efficiency charge on everybody's
National Grid bill. Electric bill. Yeah.
Not on the gas bill?
Just electric.
Okay, so there's that everyone is paying into, and if you don't take it, so the idea of this is they want us to be a greener, more energy efficient state.
So
they want to give money, they want to push this money back to people to why don't you explain it?
So in our marketing that we, in just our speak is, we tell customers, get a return on your investment, right? So they've been paying into this MassSave program for literally years and years. Whether they know it or not. And it's probably like 95% of the people, 99% of the people, they don't know about it. So get a return on your investment. Do you want to chime in? So in this MassSave program, there's for a typical single-family home, there's rebates where they're covering 75% of these insulation measures, up to $2,000 in rebates. The great thing about right now is National Grid has lifted this cap on this program.
So instead of $2,000, up to $2,000, it's
No cap at all. No cap. We're doing it. We talked about it earlier off air. We're doing a project in the next coming weeks. It's an $11,500 project, and the customer is paying $2,200.
Okay, real world thing. That's a real world real thing. World. Yeah, I will give you my personal example. We just bought a house, Mass. Mike Salmon, my good friend, Gloucester guy, used to be Cape Energy Solutions.
HRM Home now.
Yep. He came to my house. They did the audit, and it was like, I forget the number, but it was an ungodly number of insulation they blew into my ceiling and did a bunch of other ceiling measures and stuff like that. And my bill was something like $285 out of pocket.
For someone who was there all day long.
So what I always say, and people are sick of probably hearing that from me, but it's nice to hear from you guys, if you don't like money, then don't take advantage of this program. Right. Like, you don't even have to like... You could be one of those anti-environment people. Like, you could be like the super Trump guy that just like goes against, like goes overboard against, like loves coal, but those people typically love money. So if you love money, like on every different level, this makes sense.
Right, and then you know the reality too is Gloucester is obviously a very old community from a building perspective, and whether it's a really old home. I definitely need insulation and weatherization measures. But even on the newer side of things, you know,
anything over 2 years old probably wasn't air sealed, which means you have heat loss just pouring through the penetrations in your attic, your wall plates. Air's escaping. You're losing that heat. And the same thing works for summer. The heat in your attic, insulation works just as good in the summer as it does in the winter. You wonder why you're cooking in your house. Insulate it and... It helps both ends of the spectrum.
When you guys come out, I'm sure you do. You have these thermal things, right?
Yeah, we'll use thermal cameras for
so,
walls.
So people can get an idea. Like they use these thermal cameras, especially like in the winter, and you just see the spaces where the cold air is just pouring into your house. Mm-hmm. Especially so if you have another example, if you have recessed lighting,
if you had them
like. Any from 5 years ago on, generally, the amount they're basically holes in your ceiling where heat rises. Mm-hmm. If you add up all of the cans that the recessed lighting cans right. in your house, you may as well have a 3 foot hole in the side of your house or your door wide open right. because that's how much heat you're losing. And a company like Energy Savers comes in. And there are measures you can take to stop that, right?
Right, right. Yeah, and I think a big aspect of the MassSave program is that I would say the pillars of the MassSave program are one, customer safety. So when we go into a home, we're doing something called combustion safety testing. We're making sure all your heating equipment, your cooling equipment, everything's functioning safely. We find it happens from time to time where we see boilers or furnaces that are producing thousands of parts per million of carbon monoxide, which is a very big danger and a hazard. So we're making sure the inhabitants are safe. And then there's also, you know, the other big aspect of this program is making sure the customers are happy. So, you know, whether it's MassSave or the contractors going into the homes, I mean, it's make sure they're safe and happy, and we take every, you know, measure to do so.
So Mike Salmon was the one who reached out to me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you work alongside of Mike Salmon?
We're both subcontractors. He's his own contractor. He's a sub of this Clear Result MassSave program.
So why would he be the one who reached out to me to say, I want these guys to come in and talk about it?
Yeah. So Mike and I have a relationship from years ago. I used to work for Mike. But the whole premise here is we... For people that don't know, there's a Gloucester Green is the city of Gloucester's initiative to reduce the carbon emissions and help residents save money. The city of Gloucester has embraced the MassSave program. So what does that mean? National Grid has set a benchmark for the city. If we hit 1,400 no-cost home energy assessments, so what that means is customers get an audit from MatSafe to see what kind of insulation measures or weatherization measures are available. If the city of Gloucester hits 1,400 audits this year in 2017, National Grid will give the city of Gloucester a $41,000 grant to use for energy efficiency measures in town. So where does two competing companies, Mike's group and our group, we're competitors, right? We're fighting for the same customers.
He legitimately was the guy that reached out and says, these guys will come in and talk about it.
Right. But for us, we're all passionate about the town we're from. We love Gloucester. We want to see this town progress in multiple of ways. We look at this as we're combining our efforts, whether it's marketing, events. To get the word out. This is for the greater good. This is not just about two companies trying to be
profitable. We're putting competition aside. We're working together. We've been meeting with him. We're pooling resources to try and drive audits to help Gloucester
for awareness.
That goal.
For awareness.
Yes.
We want
to
see
to drive those audits. We want Gloucester to achieve its goal.
Where's the best place that people can to reach you guys or to get information about this? Is there a website? Facebook page?
I would say Gloucester Green is a really good. So gloucestergreen.org.
They have a Facebook page.
Yeah. Our website, I would have to say it's a beautiful website. Check it out sometime. It's energysavershp.com.
Do you have a Facebook page?
Energy Savers on Facebook. I think
Energy Savers HP, did you say?
Correct.
.com.
And I think Mike is HRM Home. Let me see.
We're the two local contractors on Cape Ann.
Now, do you have to go through MassSave to do this, or can you call you guys directly?
You can call us directly.
Can you get Mike's too?
Mike's is hrmhome.net.
Okay. All three links are right there. Will be in the show notes.
Yeah.
Do you guys do anything besides insulation? Because you've mentioned insulation a bunch of times, but some of these other companies, like, you know, they do the light bulbs and everything else.
Yeah, MassSave will come out when the company that will actually come out to a home to do the no-cost home energy assessment, they're called Clear Result. Clear Result is the company that manages the MassSave program for National Grid. They're the ones that they spec the home for insulation measures. They're swapping out the light bulbs. They're giving programmable thermostats, smart power strips.
Yeah, because I got eight programmable thermostats. The shower heads use less water with the shower heads.
Faucet aerators.
But Mike was the guy that did the work.
But right, so MassSave will spec the work. A work order is created, and if a customer wants to select a particular contractor, they can do so, and then that work gets funneled to us, and then we fulfill it.
Mm-hmm.
So you can choose any contractor you want. You do the audit through Clear Result. You can, at that time, they give you a list.
That's what I did.
You can choose any contractor.
Because I talked to Mike ahead of time.
Right.
Yep.
Because I know Mike. I know he's a quality person.
Right.
And he has good intentions. Mm-hmm. I said, Mike, you know, what's the best way to go about this? He says, go to MassSave, have the audit done, and then just put at the bottom, put my name down that you'd like to have me
right.
do it. And that's how
I
went. So they could mention you guys.
They can absolutely recommend Mike's group or ours.
Choose anyone you want. And we're two local ones on Cape Ann. And then beyond that, I think the closest one is actually in Danvers or
maybe Danvers,
something like that, Salem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there's so many homes that need it. Believe me.
Well, it's a no-brainer.
It's a no-brainer. There's so many homes that need it.
I think so we were talking about this earlier, and you were saying, like, there's very little penetration in Gloucester, and we were just throwing out theories why that is. I think the main thing is skepticism, but the people that have had it done, they're not skeptical. Believe me when I tell you, they're not skeptical.
Right.
Because it's just, it's crazy the amount of stuff that you get and how much money. Like when they do the work through on how much it costs you and when how quickly the payback is.
Average. It's 2 to 3 years.
It's bananas how fast,
right.
you know. And that's based on the total cost of the thing, not even the rebated cost. And for you not to take advantage of this, because September, what day was the cutoff?
September 15th. If you have an assessment done by September 15th, There's no cap on the on the weatherization.
They'll cover 75% or 90% on a multifamily. If you own a multifamily unit, yeah, they cover 90% of the job,
well,
and there's no cap.
Is there any is there anybody who does window replacement? Is that because
that would be outside of the program, but there's loans.
You can hire any carpenter to
right.
do it.
There's,
but there's loans, 0% loans, 7 years to pay back, up to $25,000. I mean, there is a litany of, we could spend an hour just on the rebates and incentives for
matching. You're saying also like the furnaces too.
Boilers, right? Furnaces, mini splits, a great example of, we were just in a house that had a 35-year-old oil boiler that had a gas line right in the house. They can swap out that boiler from oil, convert to natural gas, more efficient inherently right there. The rebate on a, when you have a boiler that's over 30 years old and you're converting from oil to gas, $3,500 rebate. You're getting literally getting the boiler for free.
That's crazy. You're paying for there's all these things. So when you guys come out, you do these advise to these type of things that can be done.
Yeah, the auditor will go over all that with you.
Yeah.
Well, I think a big thing that would help is if the real estate agents all got behind it. They need to promote it to their customers,
clients, and that's something where.
And I think you're going to do a program with our company.
Right. Yeah. So you mentioned what else do we do? We do spray foam. So for a new construction or like a renovation, we our company offers spray foam that's not covered by MassSave. It's a private aspect. We're working on some other top secret initiatives that I can't discuss right now, but we are working on something called Home Energy Score, which is the Department of Energy. So it's federal program that basically says we can go do an assessment on a home. We can say, here's where you stand on a MPG, mile per gallon kind of basis, 0 being really inefficient, 10 being really efficient. And then we can make recommendations on what you can do. But we're going to be targeting real estate agents and firms to offer that offer that service to them. One, because we can help fine-tune pricing from an energy efficiency standpoint. So you might have a home that's super, super efficient and might command a better price.
Well, any person that, any real estate agent that recommends this, believe me when I tell you, the person is going to look at you and be so thankful and appreciative because the results are always over the top beneficial.
Well, because my company with Vidala Real Estate, Peter is an appraiser. So he sees everything all the time, what's out there. So
we just did a job for Peter.
Can
I suggest one thing?
Yes.
Can you guys, if you have extra time in your busy lives, if you get a booth together at the Clean Gloucester Swim on Saturday, August 19th, I think that would be a really good synergy of Gloucester initiatives.
Yep,
there you go.
That's a good
idea. A lot of people watching it, because there's a kids swim too. A lot of people are families, and you have to wait a while, even though they swim very fast in this open swim. You do have some time to hang on the beach waiting for them to come back.
Where is this?
It's at Niles.
Right,
Niles.
For years.
Yeah.
Right. All right,
how close are you to the 1400?
I reached out to Matt Coogan. He's like, I think, a city planner.
Yeah.
Matt Coogan is Clean Gloucester.
Yeah, he's right,
Clean
exactly.
Yes.
Right. So I think as of right now, so this initiative started late. I think it's, when did it kick off? Like June? So we're already behind schedule. I know we're behind, but we're also dealing with the summer months, so people don't think insulation in the summertime, where Corey mentioned it's year round. It benefits year round.
Cooler
in the summer, warmer in the winter.
Yeah.
But I think we'll inherently see it ramp up over the
fall is the busy
fall.
Time.
Yeah.
But it's if one person can tell a friend and they can tell a friend to let it snowball, I don't say we can't hit the mark, but I think we have our work cut out for us right now.
Yeah. 1400. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. We have the links: GloucesterGreen.org, energysaverswithshp.com, and hrmhome.net. The links are all right there. Go check them out. Thanks, guys, for coming.
Thank you.
Add in closing? We're good.
Let's try to hit that goal. 41 grand to the city. Let's go for it.
Thank you so much. Well, that was a great piece. And it goes with everything we've been talking about for about 5 years on the blog. Randy, you had something to say about it.
Oh, yeah. So I don't think I could get away with having a piece go by that without at least putting on my my day hat. I actually head up a pretty large sales group for a financial firm called MSCI. And we specialize, or at least my group specializes, in looking at research on publicly traded companies for their environmental, social, and corporate governance scores, or ESG, which is an incredibly growing area within finance. And it's great to hear about like what's going on the grassroots level, but my group, where I work, we kind of take it up a few levels and look at it from an investment perspective. And this has been an area that, you know, it does have sort of this idea of being sort of an ethical investing type of thing, but now it's kind of moved into this idea of looking at this from, you know, environmental.
Financial?
Well, looking at it from the idea of creating efficiencies for companies. Mm. So it's sort of the same argument, is that, like, you know, you can have this sort of political bent on this type of investing or in this type of initiatives, but it's really all about creating efficiencies. And so, like, investors who may just look at this and say, oh, it's, you know, it's green, it's
true. Yeah, yeah, no, right. Because that's how it's exactly on my little lower, like, micro level. That's exactly how I used to look at wind and solar and everything else was, if it wasn't, you know, it wouldn't make sense. The only reason it makes sense is because they're throwing so much money at it. But from a businessman's perspective,
right.
they have, these technologies have actually...
It's flipped.
Has flipped.
Yeah.
So it actually, for the most cynical businessman... It actually makes financial sense, right?
Exactly. Right. Right.
So, on a bigger level, a corporate level, these you're saying.
Yeah. So, like, I used to go into meetings and talk about our type of research, and you'd always have that curmudgeon in the back of the room. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, this is all crap and blah 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 blah. But now you start talking about, you know, like creating environmental efficiencies and what companies are better suited to handle these types of, you know, climate risks that are coming along. Whether you believe it or not, there's going to be regulation that's going to come along that's going to affect companies.
Mm-hmm.
And which companies are more equipped to handle that risk and which companies are not is going to be of interest to any investor.
Mm-hmm.
So now you have these huge pension funds, you know, these massive trillion-dollar pension funds that are taking a look at this extremely seriously.
Yeah.
So when you hear about it on the grassroots level, you know that, like, you're getting the backing of, like, Wall Street.
Yeah.
You're getting the backing of, like, major business leaders. So it's been a really exciting time for the, you know, for these types of businesses to thrive and really get sort of a mind share out there.
Mm. Randy's not only here to talk about that. watch this segue. Watch how I do this. This is seamless right here, this segue. Even when I mention segue, it seems to be seamless, right?
Yeah.
Randy's been on a bunch of times, and we this is an annual. Is someone here? Okay.
No.
So the Magnolia, the 5K road race is upon us yet again. I think this is going to be like 7 or 8 years you've come in this time of year to pimp this great race, family-friendly race. Well, we're laughing. Well, pimping, promoting, it's all good.
I'm just trying to get the message out.
That's what you are. Well, you do a good job every year. And the road race, there's always... It's not just a 5K. There's multifacets to this, and one of them being the beautiful course.
Correct.
I think that should be probably the lead, and along with the family aspect of it. But go ahead, tell us all about it, when it is, and what's happening.
Sure. So it's in a few weeks. It's on the 26th, the Saturday morning. This is our 41st running of the race, so it's one of the oldest road races, certainly on the North Shore. Got a colorful history. We've changed the course a couple of times, but what we've tried to do in the last, I guess, 7 or 8 years is maximize the amount of time that you are running along the beautiful Magnolia coastline. And if you haven't done this race before, it's semi-challenging. There's a couple of hills in there, but for the most part, you're running along Shore Road. It's pretty flat right there. It's always a great time. We have a band that plays at the beginning, the middle, and the end of the road race, which also happens to be the same spot. The Steamers, featuring the incomparable Sandy Peak on lead guitar. But the 5K race starts at 9:15. We also have a kids' fun run that begins at 8:30. And that's a 1K, also along the coastline. There's a big downhill. We usually get, I don't know, 60, 70 kids, so it's very family friendly. It's we don't charge a lot of money. Every kid that runs, we're gonna get him or her a medal. and free admission into our pancake breakfast. Ooh. That goes on in the library itself. So we have we usually get a few hundred runners for the 5K. We get, you know, again about 50, 60 kids on the 1K. The whole neighborhood shows up. We have about 30 volunteers, most people from who grew up in the neighborhood and want an excuse to come back and reacquaint themselves with their neighbors.
Like a homecoming.
Show up. It's a bit of a homecoming. Mm. So it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun.
Who are some of the sponsors?
So KPN Savings Bank has been our primary sponsor for a long, long time. But we've had a number of other sponsors, including George's, which I take my kids for breakfast quite a bit at. We have Daymark. We have the Montessori School in Magnolia. We have Magnolia Variety. We have...
525?
525. I think we're still working on them.
Oh. Totally embarrass them if they're not.
Manchester, the Manchester Service Station has been a sponsor. Actually, is a sponsor this year.
Your city councilor?
Well, we are in a unique situation right now where we actually have two city councilors who were born and bred in Magnolia.
Yeah.
Sean Nolan. Love that guy.
And Jamie O'Hara.
Yeah.
And they are, both of their companies are sponsors for the race.
Nice.
Jamie is extremely involved, probably does more work than anybody on the race. And they're both Magnolia through and through, so I'm very proud to have them.
Who's the guy that does the browser, the Vivaldi browser there, right next to your house there, the big white,
Innovation
House. Are they sponsors? They need to be sponsors.
Yeah.
Hey, who's got more money than that guy? Let's go, buddy.
He does have a lot of money.
But he's a good guy.
Yeah. I've met him a couple of times.
He's got to get on board here.
It would be nice. Actually, I will say one year, we actually had the band play on his front lawn. And I think we've always been kind of afraid to go back after that.
All right. You know, I this is a really bad move on me to throw out these names. Totally. Well, it's either going to be really good,
right,
or it's going to be really bad.
Right.
Because they have a chance here to like really step up, though, don't they?
Don't they?
They really have a chance here.
Do, Joey, next year I'll like bring a list of all people we want.
Just put it in front of me.
That haven't sponsored
yet. Yes, I'll just shame. Anybody watch Game of Thrones? Shame. Does anybody, who gets the reference?
I get the reference.
Yes.
Shame.
So we'll get everybody in Magnolia to line up on Lexington Avenue.
Rotten lettuce and tomatoes and shame. No, but this is really is a unlike the Game of Thrones, very family friendly event.
It is competitive though. The race is competitive.
Yeah.
So.
So we can so the link is here to register, www.magnolialibrary.org. Register there. We talk about it every year. It's one of these races, one of these homecoming type of things. Especially if you're not from Magnolia, it's a beautiful time of year. It's going to be sunny. I guarantee it. I'm personally guaranteeing it's going to be sunny.
Thanks, Charlie. The kiss of death. Actually, I will say, it's more knock on wood. I've either been involved or run the race, and I don't even know how many years. I can only remember like one year where it's like the weather's been.
I guarantee it's going to be
good. I think it's one of the reasons why we have it when we have it is because we have pretty predictable weather.
Yeah.
And as long as I have been running the race in big letters, we've had beautiful weather every year.
Yeah, it's going to be a beautiful day.
So, I mean, I don't know if that means we're due, but...
No, you're going to be good.
But it doesn't matter. Gloucester people show up even in the rain.
Yeah,
yesterday was proof of that.
Yeah, www.magnolialibrary.org. Register. It's a great race. How much does it cost to register? Free for kids, right?
No. We're raising money. That's right. Good segue, Joey. Where all the proceeds go to
I am
the
fucking
Magnolia
up
Library
left and right. I have fucked up five
Center,
times already in this thing.
Which is dedicated to elevating the status of being a Magnolia resident, and we do a lot of fun things at the library. There's basketball, which there have been games that were legendary when I was
the pancake breakfast is included, though, right?
Pancake breakfast is included for the kids' race.
That's what I'm saying. So that's where I was confused.
But you still got to pay for the kids' race. And it's
and they get a medal, though. And a pancake breakfast.
And pancake breakfast.
Yeah.
We barely break even with the kids.
Barely break even.
Barely, if that. So it's like, I think it's $10 on race day for the kids. It's $30 on race day. You get a little bit of a discount if you register early. So there is an incentive. And the first 100 people who register for the 5K get a fabulous Magnolia Road Race t-shirt.
See, that's the one thing I was afraid of asking, because he didn't bring up the t-shirts ahead of time.
And Joe, do you want to talk about the history of the Magnolia Road Race t-shirts?
The history goes, speaking of shaming, this is all because of shaming. J.D. McEachran and was part of, and Randy come in every year to pimp the road race. And what, so unbeknownst to me, and J.D. will swear that there was a bag job, Randy wanted to do, they had a conversation ahead of time, he wanted to do dry fit shirts.
Okay.
I am a big proponent of dry fit shirts. Because cotton shirts, I think, are in like this time of year when it's muggy out, are brutal. Once you get hot,
once they get wet,
and wet, yeah, they're just brutal. And I always said, if you put out like, it doesn't matter about the race. If you put out a good T-shirt, like a nice dry fit T-shirt, people will pay the money because they want to have the cool T-shirt, even if they don't run the race. So I mentioned this in the first podcast with JD and Randy. And JD like looked at me. He's like, and he's very skeptically says, "Randy told you to say that, didn't he?" But he really didn't. It was just so. All right, did I mess up? Are they going to be dry fit this year?
As always,
dry fit, baby. No talking, baby. Yeah.
And we're going to get away from the neon because we've had neon colors the last couple, which is great if you're running in the middle of the night. You know,
What color?
I will say I do get a kick when I, you know, I run a lot in probably more in Boston because I work in downtown. And every once in a while, I'll see somebody running with a Magnolia Road Race T-shirt, and I give the thumbs up. But I see a lot of people in Magnolia running.
I still wear the ones you gave me. You gave me a white one with red.
Yep.
And the blue one with the navy blue, yep. The light blue with the navy blue. Those weren't neon.
No, that was the last couple of years.
See, that's how long they've been doing it.
What color are they going to be this year? Do you know?
I think we're going to go back to blue.
I like blue.
We're going to go back to blue.
I like blue.
Yeah, we work with Sundance to do the shirts here, right here in town. They do a phenomenal job. Anybody who's looking to do, you know, a run of shirts, you can't do better. I think we even actually tried to price them out at a bunch of places a few years ago. And so it's nice when the local company actually comes in on top easily.
Great.
There you go. All right, magnolialibrary.org. Check it out. Register. Our next topic is the Gloucester Mosaic Project. Why don't you introduce yourself?
So my name's Leslie Davison, and it's the project is called Mosaic Gloucester.
What did I say? Did I say it wrong?
Gloucester Mosaic.
Mosaic Gloucester.
You want it the right order. There's actually Gloucester, England has a mosaic thing going on too, which that's separate. Anyway, so Mosaic Gloucester. And what it is a large-scale community mosaic mural on the side of the Americold building on Rogers Street.
Okay, so which side?
The side that faces Rogers Street,
across
from the Dunkin' Donuts.
Okay.
So it's an enormous wall. The project's not going to cover the whole wall,
right,
at least at this point. It's something that could be added on to.
Right.
But I don't want it to look like a postage stamp either, right? It's a big wall.
It's a huge wall.
The idea is that the images on the, so it's a mosaic made up out of tiles. The images on the wall are going to be drawn from interviews with Gloucester residents. So when I, basically the history of it is that I am from Gloucester, from West Gloucester. I lived in West Palm Beach, Florida for 15 years. I would come back every summer because I was a teacher. And I did a large community mosaic mural down there, and I, you know, it's part of the community, and I felt like, well, this is ridiculous. Gloucester's what I love. I want to do it in Gloucester. So,
a little bit more rich culture, you know. Gloucester has a little bit more, you know, than West Palm.
More history.
I'm guessing. Yeah.
Definitely. But I didn't want it to just be, you know, my own personal,
vision.
Perspective.
And vision.
Yeah.
So the idea is that I'm in, and I also, part of it was because I felt, moving back here, feel like, you know, Gloucester's in sort of a critical transition point at this moment in time, and felt like I wanted to capture something before it was maybe gone or something, you know, before it changed completely. So the idea is that I'm interviewing people from around town, all different walks of life and parts of town, and using those stories to be the picture, to be the pictures on the mosaic, so that illustrating people's stories.
Mm. Okay, can you share some of the people that you've been talking to? And
I've been talking to, I mean, I've talked to the mayor, I've talked to, you know, people, Jimmy Tarantino, very colorful, you know, set of stories. Helen
Garland. This is going to be a truthful rendering of what's going on. Sorry, Jimmy.
It's going to be what Gloucester was 25 years ago.
Yeah, or
and
just
nothing should change.
All the different things that it might be, or has been, you know.
Anyone that wants to do anything differently is evil.
Elderly people I've talked to, so I'm talking about, you know, I talked to one guy who was 5 years old and happened upon when they unveiled the fisherman statue. Like,
aww.
He sold mackerel to Howard Blackburn, you know, like things like that. But you know, all different kinds of images.
Make sure you should have a cap. Anybody that moved here like 15 years ago, they shouldn't have any input because they really don't belong here. So make sure that's part of your rules. That's what's going to be, right? Make sure you get Peter Anastas. Make sure you get anybody that doesn't want anything different
I would like to put out there that, my email for this is mosaicgloucester@gloucesterculture.org. Anyone who has a story they want to tell can email me there so that I can set it up with them.
You know what? It would be very exciting to see people are doing really creative and great things for the community currently. Like,
yes.
For example, like Backyard Laura from Backyard Growers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Great stuff.
She's really, you know, I think she's a trailblazer in the community for changing the dialogue about nutrition and food.
Yeah, I'd be not. You know, I joke about, you know, what we were talking about earlier, but like, this is a great project.
Yeah.
I just hope that, like, you know,
it's
new ideas
future.
Aren't stifled, and it's more. I think it's more about our, you know, our future, and it's great to pay homage to the past,
yep.
And to be realistic of where we are right now.
Right, and so one of the questions I ask is, I have a list of questions that I ask all the different people, and one is, you know, what is it that makes Gloucester different from other New England seaside towns? And it's more than just, apologies to present companies, more than just lobsters, right? It's also,
absolutely it is.
You know,
absolutely, 100% it is, yeah.
So what is it, like, I can feel it, but I don't know how to say in words what it is that makes Gloucester different.
Yeah.
But it is different when you go to even nearby towns. So so part of that is spirit, and we were talking about we're off air about sort of Gloucester innovation and different kinds of things about Gloucester that, you know, to also embrace, you know, talk about farming and also talk about the other things that are going on.
Arts and music,
yeah.
And I mean, there's so many layers. So many layers.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Oh, you got to talk to C.B. Fisk.
Okay.
Do you know who they are?
Oregon.
I mean, they're like
world renowned. Like
world-renowned.
In cathedrals that they put their organ. Yeah, there's so much. There's so many.
Yeah. So you know what I'm trying to do. So there's part of it is, of course, is always fundraising and you know that. So yeah, there's always fundraising. You know, we're doing a sort of a GoFundMe thing that's being matched. The any funds we raise, if we raise $7,500, every funds are being matched by Mass Development. So that's that's kind of cool. If people are interested, that's on our Facebook page, which is Mosaic Gloucester. You can get it from our Facebook page. So there's fundraising. There's also obviously I want stories. I think I was just saying before, right? So anybody can contact me about, and if they know someone who has great stories about anything about Gloucester, it doesn't have to be sea shanties. Harold Burnham. We were talking a minute ago about the Generous Gardeners. You know, that's a cool
A lot of cool stories.
Nice thing
yeah.
going on. That's, you know, yeah, so there's a lot of nice things that I'd like to capture in it.
So the vision is panels that are going to go on the side of the Americold building, which faces Roger Street, kind of like across the street from Dunkin' Donuts.
Exactly.
And you're going to put tiles on the panels, which the panel, and then the panels
will be tiled, yeah, and the tiles will make up the images on the side of the wall. There's also going to, so the tiles themselves I'm making, but also am making in the community. So, for example, on Thursday, it's late night at for the City Hall workers. We're doing tile making with the City Hall workers.
Oh, wow.
At City Hall. At the Sea to Supper dinner for the fishermen's wives, we're doing tile making there with people that come to that. Haven't scheduled a date yet, but I'm planning to do it at the Rose Baker Center. I have a date for the Hive so that those kids can help me make tiles.
Fantastic. You have a lot of good input there.
A lot of different people. I'd like to do it at the Grace Center, but again, I haven't scheduled that yet. So
that'd be great. You know, it'd be really great. Like Seacoast, like the some of these the nursing homes.
Mm-hmm. Junie Van Dyke.
Rose Baker Center. That's where Junie is, right?
Junie.
That's right in Junie's wheelhouse after the quilt project she did.
Yeah. Junie had an idea similar to this.
Yeah.
The quilt project. Yeah, they did there.
Uh huh. Yeah. So the quilt project. That's Clara Wainwright's. I was saying on her my whole life. So I think she inspired me in my background.
How big are the tiles, each individual tile?
The tiles are, well, they're all different sizes. They're some of them are fish, so they're fish sizes. Some of them are just have impressions of other things. So I have like the Our Lady of Good Voyages is a stamp I have to press into the clay. So that they're different sizes and textures. A lot of them, I'll make them big and break them up into pieces. If you want to see work I've done in the past, I mean, what's hard is that because the images are from the stories and I haven't heard all the stories that I'm going to hear, I don't have a picture to show people. People want to see a picture, and there's no picture to show.
Yeah.
So you can see the work I've done in the past at my website, which is Leslie, L-E-S-L-E-Y, Davison, D-A-V-A. So I'm LeslieDavison.com is where my website is, and you can look at the pictures that I've.
And did you get that? You got that, Joe. You gave that to him.
Yeah, I have. Yeah. Well, I have the actually the Gloucester Arts and Culture Program.
So they're who hooked me up with the Americold. That's the organization.
Okay. So are you partnering with Americold?
Americold is yeah in that in the sense that they're giving the wall. Yeah.
Okay.
LeslieDavison.com was it?
LeslieDavison.com.
Okay.
Yeah.
So do you? Just so I can kind of get my head around like how a story becomes, you know, part of the artwork. Like, is there an example of like, okay, well, here's a story that I heard that, you know, maybe as a sort of a sneak preview as
okay,
to what
I've done. Okay, so for example, this one gentleman I spoke with who's 95, and he told me this story about he wanted money for the movie, so he got he got some mackerel and he sold it to Howard Blackburn for, you know, and Howard Blackburn pushed the dimes across, you know, with his stumpy hand.
So you're going to have stumpy hand pushing.
So my idea is to have Howard Blackburn, and then instead of fingers, he has mackerel. You know?
Yeah.
So sort of different images going one into the other.
Yeah.
Not,
cool.
You know, it's not going to be like panels like a comic book.
Right.
But just different images that are
ideas.
Different ideas and images. I mean, I definitely want to have a lot of fish.
Yeah.
I want to have a lot of boats.
Yeah.
But
music symbols.
Yeah, all different kinds of things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Included in
very
that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Is this through the Mass Cultural Council or no?
Mass Cultural Council, and then I'm also part of this grant, the NEA grant, Our Town grant, that is made up of five different groups. So Gloucester Writers Center, the library, I'm going to forget one of them. The Folklore Theater, me, and then the other one is the UU.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Universalist Church.
So
Meeting House, is it?
Meeting House, yeah.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I read that
so, somewhere. So that's a big deal. First of all, it might be the last NEA grants given. Who knows? But it's a big deal for Gloucester to get this.
How big a space is it that you plan to fill?
Well, it's...
What by what? If you have that.
I don't have it. I wanted to... Americold wanted it to be at least 100 square feet. I think it's going to be bigger than 100 square feet. 100 square feet seems small to me.
Yeah, that's good space.
Yeah, it's big.
So this is a great project. There's the two web. We put two websites, links to two websites, Mosaic Gloucester and the
Mosaic Gloucester Facebook, and then
and LeslieDavison.com. I link to there as well.
Yeah, and then my Mosaic Gloucester at GloucesterCulture.org is the email address if people want to contact me. And
oh yeah, the links are on those pages that you already provided. Mm-hmm. That provided.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you can get to there right from there.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks. Anything you want to add?
I would love to hear.
You want to hear stories?
I want to hear
Please
stories.
Help her out.
And then people's name, the last names of people who are participating by giving stories are going to be incorporated into it.
A little incentive.
Incentive, and there's a lot of repeat names in Gloucester.
Sure.
So if I have one Favaza, I've got all the Favazas.
A lot of Favazas. That's fantastic. I want to give a shout out to my friends that have the Rocky Neck accommodations.
Oh, tell us about that.
I took a tour, and see that we have a bunch of hotels, and they're all great.
Yes.
Being an East Gloucester guy,
right,
and being a Rocky Neck guy, I love the accommodations. But the reason I'm mentioning them is I spoke to Mona the other day, and she showed me her book. The accommodations are very reasonable to stay there, price wise.
Right.
And she has a lot of availability for August.
Oh, really?
Which is high time,
right.
The perfect time to stay there.
Yeah.
And if you think that you can't get to Gloucester and stay in Gloucester,
right.
You could stay at the accommodations on Rocky Neck, which is, to me, really great. Be able
it's
to go to those great
day.
Restaurants, the little private beach down there.
Yeah,
you get the water shuttle, picks you up right down there. So big shout
let
out.
Let me say something about Mona, too. 10 years at the Visitor Center, now at the Chamber. Mona, if you call her up and you say you have someone looking for a room, and she will do whatever it takes to get the person into her rooms.
She's great.
And she doesn't hold to her pricing. She says, I'll give them a discount. I'd rather have the bird in the hand than no hand, nothing at all.
Okay.
She's really good about that. She's a wonderful person, and it's a great place to stay.
Charlene Delaney chiming in in her role from the Chamber and many years at the Visitor Center.
10 years at the Visitor Center.
Yeah.
And booked lots of rooms for Mona.
Yeah.
Because she was always the one that you could call everybody and she would
She told me she's got rooms available.
You know who stays there? Alba Zanson and Phyllis.
Alba Zanson stays there. Our good friends Pat and Jimmy Dalpiaz
stay there. Right.
I get countless people that I turn on to that place.
And everybody loves it that stays there. People come back and tell us how much they loved it.
Every single one tells us the same thing that they
are. Are you going to put up a thing up? You know.
Well, I put a link to stuff from there.
Yeah.
I did a couple of years back. I did some video thing. They have a penthouse.
That's
the cost,
marvelous.
the penthouse is enormous.
Yeah.
The top floor, overlooking Smith's Cove, probably could sleep six comfortably. But it is the decor is coastal, but not cheesy coastal.
Yes,
and it is on par with some other rooms in town that are just regular sized rooms, I should say. So. If you can get the penthouse, it is an absolute. As a matter of fact, when I stay, I like to stay in the penthouse of the accommodations.
Okay. And the other thing
it's
is
gorgeous.
That she has a big parking lot, and she has parking for people.
Off-street parking.
Yep. That you don't have to
valuable.
Worry about.
It really
in Rocky Neck, that's
huge.
Like
it's gold.
Yeah. Speaking with Charlene Delaney. Charlene, can you tell us about the K. Ellis? Memorial event that's coming.
Fundraiser. It's coming up on August the 28th, and it's you can. It's a sale, and the dinner,
And there's multiple
vessels. There's going to be a mystery box, Pirates Mystery Box raffle. And the boats are going out, the Lannan, the Ardell this year, the Adventure, and Seven Seas. Mm. So there's 100 seats in Seven Seas, 60 on Adventure, 35 on the Lannan, and 30 on the Ardell. So we're trying to book up all those seats. You can go to klsscholarship.org and book your seat through Everbright. $75 for the whole event.
Yeah, no brainer. KLS meant a lot to a lot of people.
And she meant a lot to a lot of people. She was one of the founding members of Discover Gloucester. Mm-hmm. Keep putting tourism on the map here in Gloucester.
We love those people.
Tom will tell you, he had the dream, the vision. Kay made it happen.
We're going to donate 10 t-shirts to the raffle, whatever way they want to distribute them on the boats.
They'll be
Good Morning Gloucester t-shirts.
They'll probably be in the boxes.
Whatever they want to do with them is...
It's going to be another fabulous event. This is the second year. Mm-hmm. Last year we gave 3 scholarships to high school students of $3,000 each that want to be in the tourism business and hospitality business. And this year we're hoping to give a lot more scholarships.
www.klsscholarship.org.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Karen Pischke is here with us.
Hey,
Karen Pischke, the Gloucester Tees, Gloucester
T-E-A-S-E.
And it's on Facebook. And she is here to talk about Love Fest. Is that right?
Right.
Where's Love Fest coming this week?
So Love Fest, it's the community interactive art project that's going around the city all summer, and it's going to be on the 10th at the Annisquam Village Hall during the production of Singing in the Rain.
Okay.
So that's 6:30 to 9:30. The Singing in the Rain starts on the 8th and runs through the 13th, but we're going to be there Thursday night with the Love Fest, and you just look for the giant easel with the banner paper, and then on the 12th we're going to be at the block party, and the 15th it's a little bit more private. We're going to be at Pathways for Children with the Love Fest, and so the children there are going to be, the older children are going to be reading books about love to the younger children, and then they're going to interact with the easel, writing messages of love. It's all about writing messages of love.
It's beautiful. I saw some of the pictures of some. They're really cool. Kim, speaking of writing messages of love, I saw a post you did of 20 stories from children's books that everyone should know.
Oh,
I love the Winnie the Pooh ones.
I know.
There's some really cool messages in there.
Yeah,
you should make that a post.
Yeah, okay.
I thought that was fantastic.
And people, they can share their own personal messages. They can share quotes. They can share poems. Anything that's about love and positivity. Mm-hmm. And then on the 18th, we're going to be at the Senior Center from 10 to 2.
You are nonstop busy.
She doesn't mess around.
Wow.
And then they're all going to be, there's going to be a couple more in September, and then they're all going to come together to City Hall to be on display the week of September 18th from 9 in the morning to 3 in the afternoon from all the different neighborhoods. They'll all come together, symbolizing coming together in peace and love. It's the International Day of Peace on the September 21st.
There you go.
So.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Karen. This Saturday is the Downtown Gloucester Block, another Downtown Gloucester Block Party.
Those are the most awesome fun things.
The most awesome fun things.
Yeah.
I'm going,
yeah.
Well, I don't,
my
I'm not trying to get
here.
Down there.
My daughter's here that weekend. So.
Liv is here.
Yeah, she's coming.
Oh, your favorite child is here.
Oh, my God. He's stirring the pot. Son does not listen.
It's an ongoing joke.
He works like 20 hours a day, so he never hears these podcasts.
It's a completely ongoing joke, Alex, if you're listening, and I know you're not listening because you're too busy making money doing the right thing.
He's doing the right thing.
He's a great dad, too, from what I understand.
Yeah, he is.
Well, Carrie McKenna at the Chamber puts a lot of energy into these block parties. So
Carrie's nonstop.
Big shout out to her because
this past weekend
puts her heart and soul in it.
So everybody needs to go. Block party is awesome.
Yeah.
Can I just say, I went down to the sidewalk bazaar and I was completely. I normally don't slam these things, and I'm not gonna. I don't want to slam it. I was very underwhelmed.
Were you? Yeah, I haven't been able to go, so
it's just it doesn't seem like the actual stores. What's the Brass Monkey had a good
yeah, they had a lot of stuff out.
Some of the stores do. The Silversmith. Yeah. It just doesn't seem like it has the energy that it used to have.
Lack of Palazzolo Sporting Goods. Yeah.
Big time.
Yeah. It was underwhelming. I was there for 2 days with the chamber.
Yeah.
We were way down in the West End, so it was kind of...
I don't know what...
We were at the West End... All of us down in the West End, the solar panel people were down in the West End. There was a few people down there. We were kind of
isolated from the rest of it?
Well, people just didn't come down to the West End that much. So.
When you say the West End, not past the police station. You were past the police station?
No.
You were up by CVS?
No, we were down by Cafe Cecilia.
Oh, West End is that end. I'm sorry. I'm thinking, I'm sorry.
You're
the West End.
The East End.
Yeah. No. So I would have thought that was the busier section.
No. Because they would come down just before us.
Go to Virgilio, then turn around.
And go by. They would look down there and see that there was only the train and the bouncy house, and they would turn around and go back.
I'm sorry to say that's exactly what we did. That's exactly what we did. We went down to...
You don't know how many people I brought to do that.
I'm sure, because that's what we did. We went down to where Virgilio's was, Mystery Train,
around.
And then turned right there, made the turn. Next year, make sure you're not in that spot. That was a lousy spot for you.
Or add more things down there.
Well, I think they needed to space it out more and have more participation down there in that section. Because once people got to Virgilio's, like you said, they turned around. Actually, the solar people, the guys that did your house.
Cazalt?
Yeah, Cazalt. They were down there with me, and he just packed up and left on Friday at about 1 o'clock. Because we were getting nobody.
So it wasn't
because
of the rain?
It wasn't rainy on Friday. Friday was a beautiful day. I have to tell to
all right. So.
Charlene said he packed up and left. Talking about
Just go on about
ride.
Whatever.
Okay. See, that's and we're recording right now, so that's wonderful. I don't know. So
it was disappointing, let's say that.
Yeah, but whatever. You know what? We get the downtown Gloucester block party, which is I guarantee not disappointing.
No.
So that's this weekend. That's this Saturday.
Yeah. Good weather. And it's supposed to, good weather is supposed to be predicted.
Yeah, I wanted to mention, because I feel bad for Kat Ryan, she was here and we didn't get to mention her topic, Danny Diamond, Diamond in the Rough, he's doing murals or on Cape Ann Brewing, is it?
Brewery, yes.
At the brewery.
Cape Ann Brewery, at the brewery.
She's going to get some pictures of that and get them to you.
She's going to get them to me, so we'll post that. So just wanted to mention that. The Seaport Grill, Wednesdays at Seaport Grill is Lobster Fest. They have great deals on lobsters. Go there. I want to talk about this. Just a quick non-local thing. Just a topic that kind of... I saw a picture today. And it was a picture of a guy with like his hand on his forehead, like he can't believe, and a woman... like eating his French fries, and I don't know if it's a woman thing, because they don't want to act like they eat, but it seems like it's a woman thing that whenever you go out to eat or you're ordering takeout and you say, "Would you like anything?" and you always get a no, "I'm not hungry." But you're starving, and they know that you're starving, and then the food comes, and then they eat all your food off your plate. And when you say to them ahead of time, "If you want anything, let me know and I'll get it for you," sometimes that happens.
Well,
do you think that's a woman thing, or what do you think that is?
I don't know.
You think it's because they in their mind, "No, I'm not going to eat. Yeah. Because I'm on a diet or whatever, I'm being healthy, I'm not going to eat," but then the food comes and they got to have it.
Well, I like food and I always order.
Are you going to post that picture that you...
Yeah, it's a 7 o'clock post tonight, so it's going to go up just before the podcast.
I have a question about lobsters. Are lobsters...
plentiful?
No, I mean, are they like... Are they molting now? And they're,
yeah, they're in the process of molding right now. So there's very few hard shell lobsters.
Yeah, because it was pretty soft shell yesterday.
I love soft shell.
Me too.
Yeah. I thought they were wonderful. They were really sweet.
Those
nice.
Are the best.
They're delicious. The soft shell are
yeah,
definitely sweeter.
I think I better get some before I go.
To your point, though, I bet many guys don't do that. Take food off your plate. When you're out there, the guys take.
No, the fact of the matter is the guy will order what he wants to eat. He won't say, no, I don't want anything specifically, and then take the food off your plate.
Can I tell you something funny that I read? Speaking of men and women, but it's with dragonflies, that dragonfly females in certain species will feign death in order to avoid having sex with a male dragonfly. They'll fall from the sky and pretend that they're dead. So instead of having a headache.
It all goes back to that Clue app. It really does all go back to that Clue app. And we like I said, we can't talk about it because the feminists will climb up your ass to say that there really is a cycle, or that, you know, moods change, or there's any kind of imbalance in a woman's hormones during certain times of the month.
Well, no, I think maybe people don't want to be reduced to being an app. Maybe that's what it is, too.
It's a very useful app that gives you, you know what? Certain people that I know actually have come to ask, what does the app say right now, because I am feeling XYZ. So
the other thing that you're talking about women and food is that my husband's pet peeve was when we would go out to a group of couples and some of the women ordered food but then didn't eat it. Because they just picked at it all night long.
Can't win.
And he was he would ask me every time, why don't they eat their food? I said, because they're trying to stay really skinny, I guess.
Could be, right?
No.
Yeah.
But when you order food, you should eat it.
You should eat it. Oh, but you should order it if you're hungry.
Yes, and you should order it if you're hungry, too.
That's what I'm saying. There we go. Kim, you said that there's a painted lady butterfly explosion.
Right.
Eruption.
Eruption.
It's spelled with an I instead of an
E.
Eruption. Right. So explain the difference and what's happening there.
Starting, this happened a couple of years ago in 2012, but starting last spring, people have been reporting, because painted ladies migrate as well. Painted lady butterflies are probably the most successful butterfly in the world. They're whole Arctic. That means that they're all the way in the Arctic. They're all over Europe and Africa. The only place that they're really not is South America.
Mm-hmm.
So, as with many species of birds and butterflies, right now we're experiencing an eruption. So, there are just many, many, many on the wing. And if you're in your garden, you'll probably see painted ladies butterflies. I'm going to put a post up tonight so people can see.
Okay.
So they can identify them.
If you put it up early enough, I will link to it.
Okay. Yeah, because I do five estate gardens, and we're overwhelmed with butterflies right now.
The butterflies are
beautiful, everything. I try to take pictures.
I am giving
really
100% of that is because of Kim's effort with the milkweed.
Thank you, Joey.
We have three different kinds of butterflies.
Do you know how many people came when she did that program? It was three or four years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
There had to be 100 people came to pick up milkweed seed. And you did the two different.
We did it for 2 years. We did plants 1 year, and then we did seeds the next year.
Yeah.
And I think
we got to revive that.
Yeah, I think I've been planning to do it next year because I'm hoping the Monarch film will come out next year. Mm-hmm. This month is Monarch fundraising, so
you had a lot going on.
Yeah,
you had a lot going on, and I'm thinking the baby. She interrupts me. She says, "With the Piper Plover."
I said, "Baby Piper Plover." Oh my goodness! So I'll tell you, I had this experience this winter with this family who, they were so nice, and they begged to see my Monarch film. And I said, "Well, it's only a rough cut. You know, it's not really ready to show." And they said, "Oh, we don't care. You know, our family loves Monarch." So they were having this big reunion of 26 women and they live in Concord in Colorado and all over. But they were having their reunion at their a hotel that they used to own up in the area, up in upstate New York. So they watched the film.
You brought it out there? How'd you get it to them?
No, I gave it to them digitally. Because it's up, you know, it's you can watch it with a password and things like that, which is how I show it to people for grants and things like that. So I got the most beautiful letters back.
Ooh.
And then they sent several thousand dollars towards the funding of the film.
Fantastic.
So it really gave me this idea that, so I'm going to work on that this month. I wanted to talk to you about it also, but of having little private screenings. And I thought that would be just, you know, instead of like a GoFundMe or an Indiegogo or, you know, just to have these really, you know, we could talk to the host, it could be 20 minutes or they could see the whole film. However, you know.
Fantastic idea.
I thought that would be a really, really nice way to fundraise.
I think that's a great idea. Yeah, because it's immediate. You get the immediate thing.
Right.
Instead of like, you know, this pie in the sky.
But there's
a difference here though. You always deliver. So, like, I wouldn't feel like you couldn't donate to any kind of type of thing for you, because you know that at the end of the rainbow there's going to be something great.
Thank you.
So that's fantastic. So in the picture, if anyone noticed the show notes, they'll notice that I was wearing my failed CPAP machine mask.
How horrible
is that looking?
Right, that's the first time I've seen it. I'm so sorry.
So right, so that. So could you imagine, like, you know, sexy time?
That is not sexy time.
Can you imagine sexy time? And like, I mean, how could? Okay, so putting all that aside, I had this appointment. So I personally understand. I took a test, and I have to get out in front of this because whenever I start talking about this and I say I don't have a problem about it, is I know that I have sleep apnea.
Yeah.
I know that I stop breathing and my body snaps me out of it and I breathe and I sleep. And at the end of the day, I sleep. It is a problem in that whatever happens, happens. But I am getting sleep because I'm so tired from work.
Right.
I am getting sleep.
Right.
I went for the appointment for Kate because I snore so loudly
that it wakes her up.
She's a very light sleeper. So I went, not for me, because in my head...
You're okay.
I understand that there's a sleep apnea thing, but in my mind, I don't realize that I'm not sleeping through the night.
And also, if you didn't work so physically hard during the day, then you probably wouldn't be getting the right amount of sleep. But since you are getting enough sleep...
So the fact is, I tried the mask. I tried. And because I am so exhausted right now from work, I'm getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning every single day except for Saturdays. I'm getting home between 5 and 6:30, 7 every single day. And it's the amount of calories. You don't know the physical labor. This is a Sunday. It's not that busy.
Right.
It is insane the rest of the week.
Right.
So
I've been here the rest of the week. I've seen that.
So to try to get adjusted to this CPAP machine
this time of year.
Lose a couple of those critical hours of sleep because you're trying to get used to it, it is not going to happen because I have to have those hours, those minutes of sleep are so critical.
It's dangerous for you not
to. It's more dangerous for me to not get that rest, for my body to be able to recover, than it is to have this sleep apnea thing.
Yeah.
So I got a second mask a couple of days ago. I tried it. After 2 hours of no sleep, I ripped the fucking thing from my face. I threw it on the ground. Kate asked me the next day, she goes, "What happened last night?" She goes, "You only got about 2 hours in with the thing." I says, "Kate, it's not going to fucking happen. It's just not going to happen." And she totally understood.
Yeah.
She got it. Believe me when I tell you, she understands.
Well, I bet there are other things that you can do.
You know what? I may try it again next winter when I'm on my slow time. I mean, it goes from speed 100 down here to speed 10, like in the winter, in the middle of the winter. So I may go back to it. But
there's also other things too, right, that you can try, like...
Yeah, I guess so.
Did you ever try the breathe strips that you put across your
eyes? I tried them.
It did nothing.
I think that my problem is, and I won't get too deep into this and we'll move on, I think that I have a deviated septum, so trying to breathe through my nose, even if it's pushing the air, it's not getting enough air, so I feel like I'm...
Yeah, that's the same thing my husband had too, and he snored too.
But yeah.
I would hold his nose sometimes in the middle of the night, and he would stop.
Kim wanted to mention the Carillon, how do you say it?
I call it Carillon.
Carillon bells at Our Lady of Good Boys Church.
I'm saying that correctly.
Every Saturday from 5:15 to 5:45 with Luann Palazzola as.
And it sounds beautiful. If you're
beautiful.
In the area,
it is beautiful.
You can hear it in town.
Yeah,
I'm glad they're doing it again because they used to do it.
So they go for a half hour in the middle of town and it plays.
They do it every summer for half an hour and.
So if you live right next to there, you're going to listen to that.
Yeah, but you would want to hear it.
You would want to hear it. It's beautiful.
It's 31 bronze bells, and we can thank Andrew Piatt. Is that Andrew Piatt?
Oh, Andrew A. Piatt.
Yes.
Bridge the people. Those people.
We can thank him for because when the church burned down, he had the he helped raise the funds for it to be rebuilt.
Yeah.
And then he also, so when the bells, so they were just going to have, you know, just a regular, I don't know, whatever. But he had spent so much time in Europe and he remembered how beautiful the Carillon bells were. So they had bells commissioned to be made for.
And they were just, they just had them refurbished about 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Wow.
So. And they're, I was so happy to see that they were going to play him again this August.
Yeah. Well, thank you. So here's a segue. Thank you for bringing the candies from the church, Our Lady of Good Voyage.
No, it's the Portuguese community. The Brazilian community had a fundraiser breakfast this morning for.
Was it at the Our Lady of Good Voyage church?
No, it was at the Portuguese club.
Wasn't that the same
thing? Prospect. No, it's across the street.
It was a joke. No,
and it was a fabulous little fundraiser. It went on to
terrible segue. There was some similarities.
Yeah, there's something.
Yeah.
So one of the things they were selling to the little.
What are they? Candies. Maple candies? What are they?
Yeah.
They're delicious. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you for thinking of me. Very sweet of you. So there's that. So listen, between 5:15 and 5:45, Luann Palazzola.
Every Saturday.
Every Saturday for the summer.
Yeah. And you'll be glad you did because it's really beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, did I do this? Did I thank Lisa Templeton who sent out the calendars? I don't know if they're still out on the desks. Okay, Lisa Templeton. I don't know where the hell they went. But there's a couple of old calendars with photos of old Gloucester that she sent. I just wanted to give her a shout out for that. Kim, can we talk about very heartfelt. I see that there was a big response to your final Plover update. A big response. A lot of people responded to that. Some people were crying.
Yes.
So go ahead and tell us about that.
People loved the story of the Plover, and I think it was very wonderful for the community because there was just such an outpouring of help and assistance. And you know, we talked oftentimes about, you know, garbage or dogs or whatever, but it was really, you know, not most of the community was very much behind the story of our little chick.
Sweet
little bird. So tough. Yeah. He's a tough little
resiliency.
Yeah, resiliency. And he's just a good story, a really good story for Gloucester.
I loved when he was down in there peeking out in the sand.
The photos. The photos, even the most skeptical wildlife person like me, and I'm not skeptical, that you could not help but be rooting for this little chick, especially the way Kim captured him. The photos, you know, you kind of felt through the photos, you felt the personality of this little chick. It was amazing. And the film is going to be ridiculous. I'm like, I don't want you to get offended. I'm more looking forward to the Piping Plover movie than the Monarch movie.
Yeah, well, you know what, the Monarch film shows Cape Ann in a beautiful, beautiful way, and it's a beautiful story. But it's different when you have like a little, a story of a little survivor like that. Like,
right.
You
know, I mean, there is a little hero here that like that defied the odds.
I know. We
should against the dog. You know, it's like I wish you had like this camera down low, right? And you saw and you had footage of like a dog going right by it and like kicking sand in the lens of the camera. You know,
footage
pretty close to yeah right and,
but,
and,
just,
but like you know define like, like you know like, and the little thing avoiding it
how he learned
this thing this screams Disney Pixar
yeah.
It screams Pixar it
know,
really does it screams
name.
Pixar
the little,
you should I hope you I hope you make it
name.
I hope all the work that you've done culminates with a fucking $200 million Pixar movie.
Well, first, I'd like to make a little children's book, I think. Wouldn't that be sweet?
Yeah.
That would be very sweet.
Yeah, but he's
are we going to have Tom illustrate it? Because Tom can paint.
Tom can paint, but I mean, I would use the photos.
Oh, yeah, the photos. Yeah. There you go.
The
yeah.
photos are so cute. I just love some of the photos. He was so cute.
I want to mention...
He needed a name, though.
Well, we call
people.
Him Little Check.
What is it? P-I-P-L? Pipple.
It was just getting long writing Piping Plover every time. So
it shortened it to P.
Pipples.
Capital P, little I, capital
P,
yeah.
And then little I.
Yeah. shout out to our friend Hannah Kimberly. Her book reading at Sawyer
fantastic.
Free.
Oh. It was
really well attended, so interesting.
I wish it had been upstairs.
It
should have
been.
Upstairs.
And the reading, her reading was,
she screams audiobook. And she needs to be the person that reads it.
Yeah.
Because her cadence, her delivery,
and her love for this woman is
unbelievable. Shout out to Hannah Kimberly.
The book sold out at the bookstore, and they had to order more. They got advanced orders. There was a wait list.
Crushing it. I was looking for it on the table when I was at the Sidewalk Bazaar, and it wasn't on the table.
They sold out.
They
sold out at that Thursday event.
So you have to go and
there's
get
a waiting list.
She wants the numbers, so please.
Oh, and listen, I don't know if I should even say it or not, because the Women's Luncheon in October for the Chamber, that's a scholarship fundraiser, and I will be
She's going to be the guest speaker. Okay. She's also supposed to be on NPR
and Chronicle
coming up within the next 2 weeks.
And we're going to get all those dates, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure we're
going to get those dates. Her husband is a contributor on the blog. You think that he would post some of this stuff? I got to get on him.
But he has.
He's busy.
He injured his wing there.
Yeah. What happened to him?
I talked to Craig all the time.
I didn't even hear the stuff.
He fell off the deck or something and cracked a rib and his elbow.
He had to go on Thursday to the sports medicine place in Danvers. How do I not know this? He's my boy.
He had the whole rig on himself.
Yeah, I saw that.
So
kudos to our boy Craig. We're at an hour and 17 right now.
Okay.
Let me just scan through. I want to make sure we didn't miss anything.
Did you get all Catherine's topics?
Danny Diamond we talked about,
okay,
right?
Yeah.
I think we got everything. We got the Annisquam Village Players Singing in the Rain. Go ahead.
Oh, well, it's a fabulous show. Great cast. Great group of local people. It opens Tuesday. We're going to go to opening night and then plays through Sunday. So I'll do a little post on it.
Karen Pischke will have the Love Fest. Will be there. So make sure you look for that.
That's Thursday night.
And Mary Scott is in the cast.
In the cast, yeah.
And she's been in there for the last couple years.
Forever. They always have the politicians. They usually have the mayor.
And
city councilors,
Bruce, and
Margaret doesn't usually do it, but
I was in it a couple of years ago, and the kids got to watch, and they were thrilled with it.
Yeah.
Do we have any? Do you know if Heidi's gonna be in with any new casts? I love it when the Gloucester stage people come in; they're always so fun.
I know they're the best. So
shout out to Heidi if you got another group, feel free to come in.
Yeah, because they're rehearsing. They've been rehearsing.
Yeah.
Up on the third floor at the Chamber Building.
All right. For the team that's left, Karen Pischke, Charlene Delaney, and Kim Smith, This is Joey Shimatara. Anything to the closing?
Have a great Sunday.
Thanks, everybody.
Yep. Great week.
I have to go to Salem.
Thanks.